much as we've learned about ocular surface disease, there is still so much yet to be discovered. The good news is, this creates a world of opportunity for eye care providers.
The goal of this podcast is to better understand this chronic and complex condition and keep you up to date on the advances being made in its diagnosis and treatment. So let's get to the point. Welcome to another episode of the To The Point podcast. I'm Jackie. Hi. And I'm sitting with my co-host, Jessalyn. Jessalyn, hello.
Hello.
Welcome to 2024. Here we are.
I know. I feel like I blinked in 2023, just like flew by. But here we are, new month, new year.
New month, new year. Yeah, we you and I were talking separately about what we're going to talk about tonight. But let's tell the listeners what the topic is for tonight. We're just doing a recap on 2023. A lot came about in 2023 in the ocular surface disease space, and we're going to talk about some of the things that have come out and how we're using it in our clinics, and some pearls we've learned over the past year, and some goals. So that's the plan for today, Jessalyn. Yeah,
I think that's a good plan. It's good. It's good to look back, see how far we've come, and I think, as we said, at least for me personally, when I think about like what new developments are out, how I can improve, my dry eye care for my patients, help me goal set for 2024, what I'm going to train staff on. Yeah, 2023 was a good year. So we had some pharmaceutical launches. So we started with, we had Mibo, we had Xdemvy. We've got another one coming out.
Yeah, we do. We have Vivai is coming out. And actually, it's at the time of this recording, I think it's coming out this particular week, where Vivai was approved in June. So the summer was very big for the dry eye space. It was approved in June of 2023, and it's 0.1% cyclosporin. So it was initially developed by Novaliq, and then it was Harrow acquired the rights to Vivai. So you'll be seeing, I think, I have not seen one yet, but a Harrow rep come to your office with some samples. I know that's happening, and I've heard in other clinics, but I haven't seen anyone yet. Have you? Has anybody visited you?
I haven't. Not yet, but I'm excited. Yeah. I think combining the cyclosporin 0.1%, as you said, with their isol kind of vehicle, which is another semi-fluorinated alkane that we have in the space. And I've heard that it's easier to get it through a couple of pharmacies, PhilRx, Apollo Care, and Parx Solutions right now. But I'm sure as our reps visit us, we'll get more information as that rolls out. But awesome yeah. New possibilities for our patients.
PhilRx is seeming to be pretty popular. There's a lot of companies that are using PhilRx. So I think that's a pretty good move to also incorporate that as a place to get, this Vivai new medication here. So yeah, looking forward to, trying that out. What patient do you think you're going to try this on, Jessalyn? We got a lot of cyclosporin. Like, what are your thoughts on this?
I think initially I'm looking for my patients that obviously have some inflammation on that front surface, something that I need to kind of tame down and target the inflammation over a long term, but also that have maybe a little bit of meibomian gland issue. So we're kind of getting a more of a tear breakup time, and possibly using this instead of kind of separating it into like a cyclosporin and something like a semi-fluorinated alkane, being able to have something. Because that semi-fluorinated alkane, should be able to keep it on the eye a little bit longer, kind of creating and limiting some of that evaporation. So being able to have that tool for my patients, I think will be really good. Yeah. What about you? What kind of patient are you thinking?
No, same. I mean, I feel like that's the differentiator here with Vivai, is that they have this iSol technology. And, I have found, as a little nice little segue into Mibo, that I'm having pretty good success with Mibo. And I find that patients are using this almost, not all of them, but some of them are using this situationally. Like, I'll give you a couple of examples, and they both involve skiing. And there's others, but I'll use the skiing examples. I have a couple of patients who are like, I just use this when I'm going skiing because I feel like my eyes are not watering constantly when I'm skiing. And I'm like, oh, great. As with all of these new medications, we're figuring out the niche, like how to use this with the patient. Who's the best patient for that? But that's been my experience with several patients, is that they're finding situations where they are going to be outside and they're going to be exposed to more windy environment. And they feel like that drop is helping them in that case. I think if you can combine that property with a cyclosporin, that seems like that would be a really powerful drop. So, certainly we'll see once we start using it with our patients. But I know you really enjoy Mibo. Yeah. You're using it a lot.
Absolutely. My patients love it. It's kind of replaced the use of a lot of artificial tears for patients who have a lot of, kind of evaporative dry eye issues, which is like the bulk of my dry eye patients. I feel like this has been a really good kind of adjunct for those patients that are already getting a LipiFlow tear care, IPL or doing things like hot compresses at home. It's also been really great for a lot of my floppy eyelid syndrome patients who, maybe that eye seal pops up in the middle of the night, or, they can't do the eyelid taping. And so being able to get them a little bit more coverage that doesn't kind of gum up their vision quite to the extent that like an ointment does. Mm-hmm. A lot of my patients in that scenario are really, really loving it. So it's been a great fix. Obviously the prior authorization sometimes are the as with any new medication, that's my biggest headache with Mibo to date. But when we're able to finally get it in the patient's hands, they've really enjoyed it.
Yeah. Yeah. And this was also something that was approved. Mibo was approved in May of 2023. So certainly been out there for a little bit. Definitely we have more experience with that than, VEVYE, as that is newer. Ditto on the prior authorizations, buddy. Like, I could do without doing any more of those, but it's inevitable. Everything is being denied. So if you can, walk through it and take those few extra steps for the better of your patient, it's certainly worthwhile, as I've had a lot of patients really enjoy it. Yeah, that's good. The probably other one that is very big in the ocular surface disease space is XDEMVY. That was approved in July of 2023. And I love XDEMVY. I don't know about your clinical responses, but I'm taking before and after pictures and they're really pretty impressive. XDEMVY is a twice a day drop. So morning and evening, like, the most of our other, ocular surface disease drops. And it's a 6-week course. So that's, I think, the little hard part. I just tell patients to put a little note on their calendar of like when they started this drop. But my patients are doing great with it. It's really well tolerated. I have had no one complain about an adverse event or burning or something that's making them discontinue the drop. And I'll see them and take a photograph of their before, lids, and then I'll take a photo after. And it's been quite impressive. I don't know if you've felt the same. I mean, I think we've talked about this on a previous episode. Clinical trial results are one thing, but once you actually get into the clinic, does it actually do what they say it's going to do? And I have found that to be pretty successful.
I would agree. I don't think I've had one patient that we haven't had some improvement. I think I've only had like single digits, one where we kind of did a second round just because I wanted to kind of test that out and see. But almost the bulk of my patients, it looks like they have total eradication. Now I'm not pulling out those lashes and looking at them under, a slit lamp, or not a slit lamp, a microscope. But with the slit lamp, I'm looking for the different collarettes. And patients have really said that their eyes just feel better. And so I feel like the lesson that I've learned from XDEMVY is, one, definitely, look down, look for those collarettes. Even if there's just one, I'm kind of leading with XDEMVY. But two, the other lesson in this is that sometimes I think I forget how impactful lids can be in the ocular surface. And so by just cleaning up that lid margin and just, getting rid of the Dimetics that are there, how significant an improvement in patients' symptoms are just by cleaning up that lid margin.
I 100% agree. This was actually on my list of things, like clinical pearl is like, these lids are so important. I've realized that so much more. The more I treat a dry eye patient is cleaning up the lids. And even this like redness and this like neo that you're seeing, these little vascularization on the lid margin may simply be due to lid, you know, blepharitis, whether it's Demodex or staph or whatever. If you clean up those lids, you'll see an improvement in all that anger that's sitting in that lid margin. And so for sure, that was, you like literally took the words out of my mouth. I was going to say the same thing about that. Probably another thing, and you sort of touched on this with MIEBO, is I'm also seeing an insane amount, not insane, a large amount of incomplete lid seals. Like if you really take the time to check someone's lid seal, which you do this with the Core Blackie light test, this is, you know, making your room dark, asking the patient to close their eyes. I usually have them put their head back on the headrest of the chair. I say, close your eyes like you're sleeping. And then we just put a flashlight on their eyelid, their upper eyelid. And you're just looking for light that's escaping from that lower lid. You can see that happen. And that is telling you that this patient does not have a good incomplete, a good lid seal, that that's making it an incomplete lid seal. And these patients will complain about morning dryness. So that is like one thing that I think the more you ask, when do you notice your symptoms? The more you hear morning dryness, like, so I hear it so frequently. And, you know, looking for an incomplete lid seal takes very little time. And it's so prominent. I see it a lot more now that I've actually, so this, like, once you start looking for it, you see it, you actually see it a lot more.
You definitely do. Yeah. And I think you hit the nail on the head and asking our patients, when are you most symptomatic? Like, you know, it seems so obvious, but in the, you know, the everyday clinic, sometimes we're not stopping to ask that simple question. I've trained my staff to always ask that. And if it's always in the morning, it's like ding, 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 ding. I feel like I almost don't even have to kind of test for that because I already know what I'm, you know, clinically going to find. But yeah, that, that question is a big pearl.
Probably another thing, I like think two things when someone tells you that. I'm like, what are you doing to your eyes before you go to bed? Like, what are your, what is your makeup remover routine? What is your serum routine? What are you doing around and in your eyes before you go to sleep? And I think that's probably another pearl of mine, is that once you, if you just take the time to go over these few things, many times these problems are self-inflicted without the patient actually realizing they're doing their own disservice, you know, to their eyes. So that's probably another little pearl of the morning dryness. But you're right. When I hear a morning dryness, I'm like, okay, I got a couple of questions. I got some follow-up questions here.
Yes, definitely. Well, and our, I think the patients appreciate it when you take the time to just ask those simple questions and then provide them feedback. You know, we don't know what we don't know. And I think we learned that with all of the recalls, right? With, you know, the eye drops that were recalled over the last year, that really initially kind of in the exam lane led to the discussion of like, what artificial tears should I be using? Mm-hmm. Patients were really involved in. And it was a good reminder that, yeah, ask the questions, give specific recommendations, deep dive into exactly what they need. They appreciate
that. Yeah, totally. You know what? As you're saying this, I mean, hasn't it been like years that artificial tear companies, their reps have been like, why you should be making a recommendation, say what you recommend, you know? And I think it's not always been really like, you know, taken in very much with some providers, but now they, this recall had to be amazing for them. Not really. Okay. But like had to be great because it's like, oh, just go with the name. This is the brand you need. It's not been recalled, as everyone has heard about the eye drop recall. So everyone's asking, what should we use? So this is a good, boost to their, to their rep team by having all of these eye drop recalls, but
focus on the silver lining of this, I guess.
I'm trying. Yeah.
I like to think that maybe it's also retraining our patients a little bit too, because you know, some patients, they're just automatically turned off by anything brand name or the price. It's like they just immediately kind of shut down. But with this, they were at least kind of forced to maybe listen why something was different or why the specific one is recommended. Yeah. And that kind of change, it doesn't happen overnight. It just, you know, it takes years and years and years to kind of
help that. Yeah. Yeah. So the other thing that's more not pharmaceutical related, but device related, is Luminous has Opti Plus. So this is radio frequency device for the treatment of dry eye disease. And I know that we've talked about this before. This is on both of our wish lists to bring in radio frequency. And to the listener, this is a to be continued sort of conversation, because we're in our future episode, we're having a we're going to be talking about radio frequency with a provider that's doing a lot of that and just sort of the different types that are out there. But, you know, what do you think about this, Jesselyn? Do you think you're bringing this in sooner now that we have this FDA sort of approval with this radio frequency device? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think it's something that's definitely on my list for the next year. And it's something that I definitely want to look into a little bit more. I would say 2023 was a big year for radio frequency, not just Luminous, but InMode also kind of launched their IPL radio frequency device, their InMode Morpheus, which has their Lumecca IPL, and then their Forma for radio frequency. Mm-hmm. And so we're seeing a lot more kind of competition in that radio frequency space. And with that just becomes, you know, more knowledge, more clinical experience, more a negotiable price point, right? Which is always advantageous.
Yeah,
so it's definitely, definitely something that I want to look at more in depth. And I think on our next episode, like you kind of teased, we're going to deep dive into that, because now we have options for radio frequency, right? Yeah. And we have people that have a lot of experience that can kind of tell us the pros, the cons, what we need to know, what we need to kind of be on the lookout for as we are potentially going to bring these devices in.
Yeah. Yeah. This is, I mean, this next episode will just be selfish, because really it's just me and Jesselyn quizzing this person who's going to tell us about radio frequency. And we're going to be like, tell us what we need to know. So that's coming up. That's certainly coming up. What are some of your goals for 2024? Practice goals? What do you have?
Yeah, well, I, you know, being a business owner, part of me is always looking at kind of the numbers. And so I want to make sure that we are kind of getting our dry eye capture rate up, like when we're recommending specific treatments, which we know are going to help our patients, that we're kind of actually capturing that. I really want to look at kind of our maintenance capture rate, basically, for some of those treatments, because it's one thing to get them, you know, to have patients do it the first time. But as we know, dry eye is a very chronic condition, and oftentimes it takes multiple treatments over the course of their years and decades throughout life to kind of keep those symptoms at bay. One pearl that I learned over the last year was building in kind of a maintenance package. For example, so like most of the time with IPL, we do 4 treatments initially, and a lot of us will kind of present those treatments in the form of like a price package. And so what I've started doing is building in a 5th one, so that they've already kind of pre-bought that 5th kind of maintenance IPL treatment. And so then they've already paid for it, so they're likely to kind of come back. Mm-hmm. And that has allowed them to really kind of see the difference in how they feel, kind of show them how beneficial that is. Clinically, it's helpful because they are getting the maintenance treatment. And, you know, clinically, when there's improvement there, patients' symptoms are better, and it's obviously easier to treat down the road. So I think one of my goals is kind of nuancing and looking at that to figure out a way to kind of how to best provide value to our patients while still giving them the really great care, you know, that they need within our dry eye clinics.
So a question about that, is your patient then coming back, and after they've exhausted their maintenance, do you find that your patients are then buying another package of 4 or 5, or what are they doing?
Correct. So we then have like a maintenance package, and we have a couple of different ones. So, but I found statistically, like when we tease out the numbers, that the ones that are more likely to buy like the second round of maintenance packages were the ones that had their 1 maintenance treatment versus before, if they just had the 4, like trying to kind of get them to come back to purchase any other maintenance treatments. There was a little bit of a downtick in that. So we'll see how that teases out. But number wise, it looks interesting. And
yeah, you're making me think this should be one of my goals, actually. I don't think I've looked that closely at my IPL numbers to do this. So thank you. I'm going to add that to my list.
What are your goals?
Yeah. So like one of my goals is to be more consistent on social media. I honestly, when I am posting things from the practice, I have a TikTok, and I actually had someone, which is hilarious because I have like zero TikTok followers, but like a patient was like, oh, I came to see, actually two patients came to see me for IPL because they saw me on TikTok, which is like insane. So I do know that there is certainly, it's not always easy to measure the ROI on spending your time on social media, but it is very helpful. And it is one of my goals for 2024 to post more consistently. So that just takes some, you know, thinking ahead and planning. And so that's one of my goals for 2024.
That's a good goal. I need to do that too. I go in waves. Like sometimes I'm really good, and then, you know, clinic gets busy, life gets busy, and then, but you're right. I mean, it's a very kind of inexpensive way to bring more patients in, but also for your current patients. Sometimes, like if you're curious about it, seeing it on social media, maybe seeing a video of how a dry eye treatment is done, hearing a patient testimonial. Like when I'm doing my research for different products and services, you know, like I like that feedback. So I need to remember that, you know, being a patient, being a consumer, that sort of information is important.
Yeah. I think, I mean, I find it really interesting when like I follow a neurosurgeon because I think these cases are really interesting. And so that's the sort of lens I want to like put this through, is like, what is interesting from the patient perspective and what is a misunderstanding and what are the questions I get asked over and over again, you know, like, why do I do a dilation? Like I get that question, or what are you looking for when I do the dilation? Literally, these are the same questions over and over. So I'm like, well, I should put this into a video. And so I think the ideas, the content ideas are there. If you're just listening to your patient, it does just take a little like, just turn on the camera and record, you know? So, that's it. That's one of my goals. And also now to dive into my IPL metrics. Thank you, Jocelyn. I will be doing that because of you.
Leave it to me to look at the business side. It's not all about business, you know, patient care, that is the most important, but you know, I know, yeah. I'm not alone, and these devices, they're expensive. And so, you know, you have to look at the numbers too.
I know. I was actually wondering like, oh God, I wonder if Jocelyn bought an RF right before the end of the year to get some tax deduction. That's what they always advertise.
But we ran the numbers, you know, yeah. It's the tax.
I know. It's a lot. That's right. All right. Any last final words, Jocelyn? Or did we do a nice little wrap up for 2023?
I think we did a good wrap up. We talked about some launches that hit in the dry eye space, a little bit of a teaser of what's to come in our next episode, but also with VVI, that'll be exciting. Yeah. And I think 2024 is going to be a good year.
You know what else I was going to tell you? I'm also excited to do this, and I'm doing this on Thursday, my implementation for the TPOC system from Versaia that's doing the lactoferrin and IgE testing. So we're starting with lactoferrin. That's what's out. That's what's available now. So I'm going to be doing that on Thursday. So I'm excited to do that and play around with that and see how that's useful clinically for me with patients. So that's an exciting thing for me this year. So yeah.
All right. We're going to need your feedback on the next episode to hear how it went.
Okay. I'll tell you. All right, Jocelyn, nice to talk to you as always.
Nice to talk to you too. And good luck to everyone. I hope we all make 2024 a really great year.